You already started? Okay. Well, good evening. It's good to see you here tonight. Glad to have those of you on our social media platforms, whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, be sure to heart, like, share, follow, subscribe, retweet us there on Twitter, all those things. Comment especially because that helps in the algorithms that they have set to get the word out to more people who are in your circles of influence. So it's just a unique way that you can invite others just to make comments there. You can share it, and that also helps to get it out to all your friends also. Welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming, and we just want to say welcome to you. If someone needs that number, please call the church office or comment there on Facebook or YouTube, and we'll be glad to send that to you so that you can be able to access that. If you have access to our church website, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin for today. There's lots of upcoming activities that are in your bulletin. We've also got the children's worship bulletins under that same info tab. Those are in the windowsill to my right. You can pick up those, take those with you, share those, leave them around the town, wherever you may go through this week. It just is another opportunity for you to share the gospel with others. And then don't forget the prayer list that's under that info tab. Be sure to download that and be praying for those individuals that are on the prayer list. While you're there on the website, go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab. You can do your regular offering there. It's just under the Give Online. It gives you a drop down there to do your regular budget offering. You can do the Golden Offering for Tennessee Missions. There are some other designations there you can use also, but encourage you to take the time to do that, to do your giving. If you're doing that in person, the white envelopes are for your regular offering, and the pink ones are for your Golden Offering for Tennessee Missions. One other thing just to mention, I scanned basically real quick through the bulletin, wasn't sure it was there, but just wanted to remind you that on Thursday, we'll be setting up a few flags at 9 o'clock in the morning. So be here, some of you guys, on Thursday at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we're just gonna set up about 25, 30 of those flags for getting ready for Veterans Day services next Sunday. So just wanted to remind you of that. I think that's everything that I had to share. Brother Mike's not here with us tonight, so I'll be leading us in our congregational hymn. It's page number 14, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, and all the words will be on the screen here. So let's stand as we sing our hymn tonight.
Praise to the granted
You can be seated.
I was looking at my book, looking at the screen, and I got off on the wrong verse there for a little bit. Take your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 through verse 23. The rest of this book that we're going to be in is going to be about Joseph and his life and what God does in and through his life. And so the predominance of the book of Genesis is devoted to his life and to all that God is doing in his life, what God uses to him for to preserve the nation of Israel. Now, when you look at Joseph, we've talked about this before, he's not in the direct lineage of Jesus, so his preservation of himself is not necessarily preserving the line for Jesus to come, but it is preserving the people of God through Jacob and through his 12 sons, Joseph being one of those, to bring about God's will in bringing the nations, the different tribes about for the nation of Israel, and in particular Judah that we talked about last time in chapter 38 in that little interlude that we looked about Judah. So the rest of this is going to be about Joseph and about his family and about what happens with him. And it begins in a tragic way, somewhat. I've entitled this message tonight, When Everything Goes Wrong. You try, you do whatever. I mean, have you ever had one of those days when everything that could go wrong did go wrong? Sometimes you wish, man, I wish I could just get back in the bed and go back to sleep and wake up again and start afresh and anew. Maybe it would be better than it was. I mean, you've had one of those days when the harder you try to do things right, the more things seem to go wrong. And so that's what we're going to be looking at here. I want to begin. We're going to read through the entire chapter before we get into the message. But we're just going to look at verses 1 down through verse 6 to begin with. So if you would, let's stand as we read God's word in honor of his word. Genesis 39, verse 1 down through verse 6. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt. Now stop there for just a moment. You remember he had been sold into slavery there by those travelers who were coming through, by his brothers who dug him out of the pit and sold him. And then Judah came back and found all that they had done and was grieving what had happened there. And then they went home and told Jacob that his son had died. So Joseph had, in the meantime of all that had happened in chapter 38, Joseph had been brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar and an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to this passage tonight, things seem to start off okay after the tragedy of being sold into slavery to the Ishmaelites by his brothers for Joseph. But yet, Lord, as we come to this end of these few verses, things spiral downhill from there. So, Father, I pray that as we look at this passage tonight, that when everything goes wrong, what do we do? How do we survive? How do we make it through day after day when everything we seem to do seems to go wrong? I pray that you will teach us some truths from Joseph here tonight, from chapter 39 here, that would be a blessing to our hearts if we would apply them. Lord, that will speak truth into our hearts, that if there's someone who may be listening, they would hear the gospel message of the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. And Father, that they would turn and trust in Him as Lord and Savior. But Lord, I pray for those who are believers that you would use this message to be an encouragement, a comfort, a direction for them, to give them purpose when they see things not going the way they expect them to go in their lives. So bless your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, as you look here and we see when everything goes wrong, I saw this story about a man who was filling out an accident report form for an insurance company, explaining how he had received the injuries that had put him into the hospital. He responded in a letter that said, "Dear sirs, I want to explain in this letter the details of what put me in the hospital." He said, "I'm a bricklayer by trade. On the day of my accident, I was working alone on the roof of a brand new 6-story building. When I completed my work, I discovered that I had about 500 pounds of brick left over, and rather than carry the bricks down hand by hand, I decided to lower them in a barrel using a pulley, which was attached to the side of the building at the top of the 6th floor. He said, securing the rope at the ground level, I went up to the roof, swung the barrel, and loaded the brick into it. Then I went back to the ground and untied the rope, holding it tightly to ensure a slow descent of the 500 pounds of brick. He said, you'll notice in block 11 of the accident report form that I weigh 135 pounds. He said, due to my surprise at being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded in a rather rapid rate up the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming down. That explains my broken arm and shattered collarbone. Slowed only slightly, I continued my rapid ascent up the side of the building, not stopping until the fingers of my right hand were too deep in the pulley. That explains my 2 broken fingers. Fortunately, by this time, I had regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of my pain. But about that same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. It was now devoid of weight, of the bricks at the barrel now weighed approximately 50 pounds. I refer to you again to my weight of 135 pounds in block 11. As you might imagine, he said, I began a rapid descent down the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming up. This accounts for the 2 fractured ankles and the dislocation of my left kneecap. Slowed only slightly, I landed directly on the pile of bricks beneath me, and that explains the cracked 3 vertebrae in my back. Finally, as I lay there on the bricks in pain, unable to stand and watching that empty barrel 6 stories above me, out of relief that it was over, I let go of the rope. That explains the fractured skull. What a story. You know, even if you've never experienced something quite as traumatic as that, you're going to have days, you're going to have weeks, you're going to have maybe even months, maybe even years, when everything seems to go wrong. That's true whether you know God, whether you believe in God, whether you love God, whether you serve God or not. Joseph, in this story and what we find out about in his life, had more than his share of dark days and rainy nights. Let me continue reading the rest of this chapter for you to get the whole picture of the story, and then we'll come back to learn some lessons from his story. So pick up with me, if you will, at verse 7. Everything seemed to be going fine this day so far, other than the fact he had been sold into slavery, and now he's been again sold to Potiphar, who's this Egyptian. I think he could have been sold to anybody else, but he was sold to one of Pharaoh's officials here. So that was in and of itself some good in that. But it tells us in verse 7 that, and after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." Verse 8. But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. Now then, can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, and he would not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her, but one day when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house." Then she laid up his garment by her until his master came home. She told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came in to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house. And as soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, 'This is the way your servant treated me,' his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him, put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it to succeed." In verse 20, things go from worse to worser. In verse 20, when he gets thrown into prison there, Joseph had been put into a dark, dirty dungeon with some of the roughest characters in all of Egypt. Not for doing what was wrong, but because he did what was right. He was not there because of some bad crime that he had done, but because of his good character. And for a big portion of his life, Joseph's tombstone could have read, "Nice guys finish last." Yet through it all, Joseph remained completely devoted to God. Whether he's up on the mountaintop or whether he's down in the valley, he knew how to handle adversity. He knew how to handle prosperity. Peter Marshall, the great preacher of old, once said, "It's a fact of the Christian experience that life is a series of troughs and peaks. In his efforts to get permanent possession of the soul, God relies on the troughs more than the peaks, and some of his special favorites have gone through longer and deeper troughs than anyone else." Those words apply perfectly to Joseph. And there are some lessons we can learn from Joseph on how to make it when everything goes wrong. Here's the first thing to learn when everything goes wrong. Remember the promises of God. Remember the promises of God. Now, it's not coincidental that at the beginning of this entire story about Joseph, we read about his dream back in chapter 37 when we were learning about Joseph first. In chapter 37 and verse 5 through verse 11, it said there that Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream that I've dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream, verse 9, and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you've dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. Now this dream, these two dreams, were God's word to Joseph. It was God's promise for Joseph. "Joseph, here is what's going to happen to you." He gives it to him in two different pictures there, a dream about the sheaves and a dream about the stars. In the first dream, God told Joseph he was going to elevate him above the world's resources. In the second dream, God said he would elevate him above the world's rulers. Always in the back of his mind and in the bottom of his heart, there was this remembrance of those dreams. Even when he got sold to the Ishmaelites, when he got sold to Potiphar, and now that we find in verse 20 that he's in this deep dungeon, this prison, he is deep in his heart the remembrance that God had promised to him elevation and exaltation. Joseph knew that no matter what happened, God would keep his word. That's a truth that we always need to know and have that the foundation of our lives as Christians, to know that God always keeps his word. And Joseph knew that. So rather than dwelling on his problems, because notice, you don't ever see Joseph dwelling on his problems. You never see him saying, "Oh, woe is me. Look at me. I've been sold in to the Ishmaelites. Look at me. I'm a servant of Potiphar. Look at me. I've finally been cast into the prison. What have I done that's so wrong?" Never do we see him dwelling on himself. Rather than dwelling on his problems, he dwells on his promises. You know, when dark days and dreary nights come into your life, when everything is going wrong, instead of sinking on the premises, we need to be standing on the promises. You can hear Joseph now as he makes the pit and the prison his personal platform of praise. He's living in full confidence that God's promise for him, some way, somehow, is going to be fulfilled. Now, I think if the song had been written in that day, I guarantee you Joseph would have been singing, "Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God." That's what Joseph would have been singing. There was a time when Adoniram Judson, the great missionary to Burma, saw his missionary work destroyed. He saw the presses that he had brought over smashed. He saw his converts killed and scattered, and he himself in a filthy dungeon. And his captors taunted him and said to him, "What does your future look like now, Judson?" And Judson answered and said, "My future is as bright as the promises of God." There are thousands of promises in the Word of God for those times when everything seems to go wrong. Let me just give you one of those promises. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25 and verse 26. Here's what Proverbs 3, 25 and 26 says. "Do not be afraid of sudden terror. Do not be afraid of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." You know, many times we have to eat our words, but God never has to eat his words. Always, he always keeps his promises. So first, remember the promises of God. The second thing we learn from Joseph, to learn here about what to do, how to make it when everything goes wrong, is to rely on the providence of God. Rely on the providence of God. Now, get the picture here. Remember, Joseph had been thrown into a pit. He had been forsaken by his family. Then he was thrown into a prison, and he had been forgotten by his friends. Neither time was Joseph being punished for doing what was wrong, but for doing what was right. His brothers were jealous because of his dreams and threw him in the pit. Potiphar's wife was angry because of his dedication and had him thrown into prison. When you think about it, Joseph lost his freedom because he would not compromise his purity. He would not compromise and be corrupt in his integrity. He cast away his dignity. He was not suffering for doing wrong. He was suffering for doing right. Now, when you do things that are wrong, you can't expect for things to go right. You're going to expect that there's going to be some consequences for our sin. But here was Joseph who wasn't doing anything wrong. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 reminds us this and says, "For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure?" In other words, he's saying there, Peter is saying, that's to be expected. When you sin, there ought to be punishment for your sin. But if when you do good and you suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. So don't get the idea that when something bad happens to somebody, it's because they're not living right. It may be because they are living right. There was a preacher who returned home from a trip. One of his church members met him at the train station. The preacher asked him how things were going. He said, "Well, while you were gone, a tornado came through town and tore my house down." And the preacher said, "Well, I'm going to be honest with you. That was God's punishment for the way you've been living." Well, the church member said, "Well, preacher, it blew your house down too." See, we want to point out somebody else. And I'm sure here that Joseph must have went through some deep confusion. It's tough to have bad things happen to you because you're doing what's good. It's tough when you're seeking to live pure, you're seeking to live a clean life, to stay clean, to eat healthy, to do right, and you get cancer and you die. The fact of the matter is, there are going to be times when you cannot make sense out of sorrow. Times when things that are happening in your life, it just doesn't add up. And the hardest thing in life to stand are the things you don't understand. Life isn't always going to make sense to us. But there's a great truth for us to remember. Just because things don't make sense to us doesn't mean that they don't make sense. Because everything that happens to you makes sense to God in His providence. What may seem hidden to us, a mystery to us, is not a mystery or hidden to God. There's going to be times that faith is going to have to swim where reason can't even wade. So because God knows what he's doing is what we have to come to understand. When all Joseph could see was the prison, God could see the palace that we're going to see later. That's why Joseph could say when it was all over in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20 to his brothers, when he said to them, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." That's how he could say that. You know, let me give you two promises you need to remember the next time that life deals you a bad hand. The next time everything seems to go wrong and you don't understand what's happening or why it's happening. The first promise is this. It's in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, a familiar verse to many of us, that says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose." That is a promise from the Word of God for every believer who's here tonight. Stand on that promise. You may not understand it.
You may be so confused, you just can't make any sense of it rationally, but we know that for those who love God, all things, even the bad things, even the worst things in life, work together for good to those who are the called according to His purpose. Think about just like Jesus turned water into wine, God can take anything bad that happens to you and turn it into good. The other promise is in the book of Psalms. It's in Psalm 138, verse 8. And here's what it says there. It says, "The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me." The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. In other words, you can rely on the providence of God. So remember the promises of God. Secondly, rely on the providence of God. And then we need to rest in the presence of God. You got so much going on around you, and the waves and the storm is raging around you. You need to be in the presence of the one who can bring true peace. Not only was Joseph strengthened by the promises of God and guided by the providence of God, he was guarded by the presence of God. In Genesis 39 and verse 2, notice what we're told. In verse 2, it says, "The Lord was with Joseph." Look down to verse 3. "His master saw that the Lord was with him." Look down to verse 21. It says, "But the Lord was with Joseph." Look down to verse 23. It says, and whatever he, it says there, that he didn't care about anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. God was with Joseph all the time. When Joseph was deep in the pit, God was with him. When Joseph was down in the prison, God was with him. God had not forgotten him, and God had not forsaken him. The whole time that Joseph was in prison, God was with him. Think about this. When Noah was navigating that ark through the flood, God was in the ark with him. When the three Hebrew children were thrown into the fiery furnace in the book of Daniel, God got into the fire with them. When Daniel, you remember, was thrown into the lion's den himself, God shut the lion's mouth by getting into that den with him. When the disciples were in that boat and they were being tossed about on that stormy sea, Jesus had gotten into the boat with them. If you're here tonight, you're watching online, and you're a Christian, you may get lonely, but it's impossible for you to ever be alone. No matter how deep the water, no matter how difficult the trial, you will not drown. No matter how hot the furnace, you will not burn. Because God has promised over in the book of Isaiah and chapter 43 and verse 2 and verse 3. What a wonderful promise. It says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God." So remember the promises of God. Rely on the providence of God, that He is sovereign. He's in control of everything. And then rest in the presence of God. The place we need to be is in His presence more than ever. How do you do that? You get into His Word and you get on your knees in prayer and you start letting the Holy Spirit change you from the inside out, filling you more and more with the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's no room for doubt. There's no room for fear. You keep your focus on the promises of God. But then notice fourthly, we need to respond with the patience of God. You say, "Preacher, I can't go that." Patience, I don't have an ounce of patience in me. Genesis 39, verse 20 told us that Joseph's master took him, put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. Keep in mind, he's only at this time about 17 years old. A 17-year-old, think about that. If your child, 17 years old, is being put into prison for something they didn't even do. They were trying to be honest. They were trying to be pure. They were trying to live for the Lord. Chapter 41 and verse 46 tells us that Joseph in chapter 41 was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. When you put those two verses together, Joseph winds up in prison for 13 years. He was in prison because of jealous brothers. He was in prison because of a lying woman. He was in prison because of an ungrateful butler that we'll talk about later. But Joseph never got bitter. He never held a grudge, never took revenge. When he became the prime minister of Egypt, he never mentioned his brothers who sold him into slavery. He didn't go around complaining to everybody, "I wish you knew my brothers and how rotten scoundrels they are and what they did to me." We do that all the time. We talk about those who have hurt us, as we talked about some this morning. When he became the prime minister, he didn't mention his brothers who sold him into slavery. He never said anything about Potiphar's wife who had him falsely thrown into prison. Can you believe what that woman did to me? She thought I was trying to come on to her, and it was me. I was trying to be pure. You just don't know what happened to me. No, Joseph never said anything of that. Never said anything about Potiphar's wife. He never said a word about the butler that we'll talk about later, who forgot to get him out of prison after he had gotten him, out of prison. Joseph, he just kept on keeping on. He just kept on living for the Lord, loving the Lord, living for the Lord. You see, Joseph's commitment, and this is important for us, Joseph's commitment wasn't contingent upon his circumstances. His commitment wasn't contingent on his circumstances. The question for us is this: is your commitment contingent on your circumstances? If things are going right, in other words, "Oh, I'll serve the Lord, I'll be fine." But if things are going bad and it's not going my way, I'm not doing anything for the Lord. Do you do right only when things are right? To put it another way, what would it take for you to quit coming to church? What would it take to make you stop praising God? What would it take to make you quit living for Jesus? You can tell the size of a Christian by what it takes to stop them. If we had been in this story instead of Joseph, the story wouldn't have lasted nearly as long. And it wouldn't have been filled, it would have been filled with bitterness and anger and revenge and even blood. We'd have long ago shaken our fist at the face of God and said, "If this is the best you can do for me, forget it. I'm out of here." So let me ask you this: is your holiness dependent on your health? Is your joy dependent on your job? Is your praise dependent on your prosperity? Martin Luther said this. He said something that may not be earth-shattering, but it says a lot about Martin Luther. He said, "Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my little apple tree and pay my debts." You understand what he was saying? He was saying that no matter what happens tomorrow, I'm going to do right, I'm going to be right, I'm going to live right. True commitment is not conditional. And yet all too often we live that way in our lives before the Lord. So understand this: if a person won't serve God in a prison, they're not fit to serve God in a palace. Joseph was fit to serve in the palace because he was serving in the prison. So the question is, where is God when everything goes wrong? Where is God when your spouse dies? Where is God when your child dies? Where is God when a hurricane destroys homes and people's lives, or a tornado? Where is God when fires in places like California destroy so many homes and take so many lives? You know where he is? He's the same place he was when his son Jesus died. Where is God when everything goes wrong? He's on his throne, watching over his own. When everything goes wrong, he's always working it out for his glory and for your good. When everything goes wrong, remember those four things. Remember the promises of God. Rely on the providence of God. And respond with the patience of God. That patience requires the other things. It requires remembering the promises and relying on the providence. It requires all of those things so that you can respond with the patience of God. Have you done that? Are you doing that? Joseph gives us life's lesson here for how we need to live for the Lord in the midst of all the persecution, in the midst of the valleys and the mountaintops. Rest in the presence of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. What a powerful message from Joseph and his life. A message, Lord, that we so often get wrong. Lord, I pray tonight that we have learned some lessons from Joseph, that we need to remember those promises of you, of your word. And so, Father, we know that for us to remember those promises, we've got to be in your word. Lord, I pray that we would make your word a priority in our lives. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's your word that directs us, that keeps us from going to the right or to the left, but keeps us focused on your promises. And Lord, so many promises in your word for us. I pray tonight, Heavenly Father, that we would rest in those promises. Lord, that's the only place that we can find true rest and true peace is in your presence, in the presence of the Prince of Peace. So Lord, give us in our hearts and our lives the promise of your word, a peace that passes all understanding when we're in your presence. And Father, I pray also, Lord, that you would help us to rely on your providence. To know, Lord, that you are at the same place today, tonight. You are going to be at the same place tomorrow, no matter what happens tomorrow. The stock market crashes, things go crazy tomorrow, natural disasters happen. You are still at the same place you were when Jesus died on that cross for our sins. You are on your throne. You are in control. And some way, somehow, you will work all things together for good to those who are the called according to your purpose. You will work to bring about your glory in our hearts and in our lives, even when we don't understand it. So help us, Lord, to just rely on your providence. And then, Lord, help us, because we know we cannot respond with the patience that you have. We need the power of your Holy Spirit flowing and overflowing out of our lives, that no matter whether we're in the prison, no matter whether we're in the pit, or no matter whether we're in the palace, Lord, we can respond with the patience of God, knowing you're in control and you're going to take care of it no matter what. Lord, what a life Joseph lives, and so much more to get into his life. Lord, help us to begin by taking these steps to heart in our lives, living in these principles. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our hymn of invitation, number 312, softly and tenderly. So would you stand as the Lord lays upon your heart? Maybe you need to come to the altar. If you do, I will meet you down here at the front. Number 312, softly and tenderly.
Waiting and watching, watching.
let's go to, want to thank you so much for being here with us tonight on all those social media platforms. We look forward to seeing you back Wednesday night. Don't forget, Awana is Wednesday night, 5 o'clock for our free meal that we have. Come and join us for that at 5:30. We begin with Awana, or right before 5:30 there, and then we have our regular Bible study in here in the book of Isaiah on Wednesday night. So we'll be back in the book of Isaiah. Come and join us for that. And then don't forget Thursday, 9 o'clock in the morning, that we'll be setting up. It's just not a lot of flags, not like our normal flags that we set up, so it won't take us very long to get up about 25 or 30 of those down by the street there. So come and join us for those things. We'll see you this coming Wednesday. You have a safe week and a blessed week. We'll see you then.